Mellis watched as Big Fang and his gang of torchbearers made a rush at the gates. Straight away, she countered the move.
Formal, rubble over here, quick! Aim it down onto them. Try not to kill the slaves.
Formal and his crew hurtled the baskets of mixed rock and rubble over the parapet wall. Big Fang was about to swing his torch at the gates when the first basket hit him, extinguishing the flames as it stunned him. He lay spread on the path. The ore slaves backed off, but Frink and Fishgill threw their torches. One hit the gates and bounced back, but the other fell just right at the bottom of the woodwork. Flag was about to see to it when he tripped over Saxtus. The young mouse was crouching down, head in paws, sobbing uncontrollably. The big otter grabbed hold of him.
Saxtus, matey, are you all right? Have you been wounded?
Blinded by tears and hardly able to speak, Saxtus shook his head.
Oh, Flag, I've just killed a living creature. It's horrible. One moment he was alive, and suddenly my spear hit him. Did you hear him scream? He's dead. Flag, dead. And I killed him.
Flag turned to Mellis as she passed.
They fired the gates. See what you can do, ma'am. I'll be with you in a moment.
Flag raised Saxtus's tear-stained face with a rough paw.
None of us wants to kill any beast, matey. But this is a war. It's kill or be killed now. We're not just protecting our own skins. There's the whole of Redwall and what it stands for. What about that dormitory of Dibbins? Do you want to see them slain by sea rats? Make no mistake about it, young'un. Those rats will kill us all if they conquer our abbey. Come on now, Saxtus, me old cully. Let's see you up on your paws and defending your home.
Saxtus wiped away his tears. Grabbing his sling, he fitted a rock and sent it hurtling into the sea rats.
Come on, fight, you dirty cowards! You won't conquer us!
Rocks and spears, arrows and lances filled the air, zinging backwards and forwards between sea rat and redwaller. Mother Mellis and three moles, Buxton, Drubber and Dante, rolled a barrel of water from the abbey pond to damp down the back of the gates. Formal and his crew hailed baskets of earth over the ramparts to smother the flames licking up the front of the gates. Grub, the baby mole, together with the little twin otters, Bag and Run, had escaped from the dormitory. Wakened by the noise and clangour of battle, they decided to take part and distinguish themselves as warriors. Wandering through the deserted kitchens inside the abbey, they searched for suitable armament. Bag gave a shout.
Woohoo! Look at these!
Friar Alder's large vegetable chopping knives lay sharp and gleaming upon the worn work table. They selected one each, dancing about and waving the dangerous blades.
Let's make syrup, boys.
I'm going to chop their chief's head right off. Chop-o!
This infidel skin eat a few. I'll make they squeal.
Creeping out onto the abbey lawn, they ducked behind some bushes as Mellis and the moles hurried by, trundling another big barrel full of water toward the main gate. Run held a paw to his lips.
Shh! Come on, this way.
They mastered the steps to the top of the north wall near the east end, helping each other to scramble up the big rough-hewn stone stairs, pushing the knives ahead of them as they went. At the top, an argument broke out over which knife belonged to whom.
Hey! That's my knife! This one's yours!
No, Tane! I had the pointy one with a brown handle.
Yeah, give your knife to me. Mine were the big un.
As they were sorting out the weaponry, a three-hook grapnel narrowly missed Bag's head. It caught a crack in the stones, and the rope attached to it was pulled taut. Grub patted Bag's head.
Boy, Oki, that were near a good shot. It nearly went right down you mere.
The whirring and clanking of grapnels increased as all along the east wall metal hooks clamped into stoneware cracks and ropes pulled twangingly tight. Run climbed up on Grub's head and peered down into the forest darkness.
It's sea rats, lads, climbing up the ropes to get in here.
Bag glanced over to the west wall where the battle was concentrated.
Huh, it's no good a shouting for that lot. They've got enough to do. Sides, Mar Mellis would tan our hides and make us go back to bed and not give us no breakfast tomorrow and keep us in our room all day and...
Grub placed a grimy paw over Bag's mouth.
Oh, tell I no more horrible stories, Otter. Usn's cutty ropes we are, girt noise. Ho, ho, he rattle for bumping they buttons when he ropes do be cutted. I'll start in the middle. You two come from both ends, her.
Kaibo was nearly at the top of the wall. Holding his sword between his teeth, he looked back at the others swarming up the ropes, their eyes glinting triumphantly through the darkness as they hauled themselves upward, claw over claw. It was a great distance from the wall top to the woodland floor, and Kaibo was not too fond of heights. He partially closed his eyes and tried not to look down, staring at the wall face in front as he pulled himself ever higher. The sea rat's claw was about to stretch up and grab the battlement at the wall top, when there was an ominous chuckle, a soaring noise, and a discordant twang as the rope parted company with the metal grapnel it had been lashed to.
Oh, no!
Kaibo sailed outward from the wall top and dropped like a stone. Several sea rats looked up in amazement, their eyes following Kaibo as he plunged to the dark floor far below. In a very short time, ropes were popping and cracking as they were sliced through by the Red Wall Friar's keen vegetable knives. The thud of bodies and the terrified screams of sea rats filled the night air. One rat plunged earthward without a sound, staring in puzzlement at the loose rope still firmly clenched in his claws. Bag, Run and Grub were truly having fun. It took only three slices to cut through the toughest rope, stretched taut as they were.
A one, a two, and a three, and away he do go, Vermint.
Grub chanted happily, and away the Vermint did go, with a loud wail of despair.